welcome to Just Checking In, a podcast like your virtual friend that quite literally just asks how you're doing and see what unravels there. I'm Mara Jastani, your host, and this episode is very dear to me because it's a dialogue that I wish and hope to witness continuously amongst creatives, educators. It's the exploring of our experiences with different roles we put on ourselves. I talked to Jethro from the motherland, Philippines. He is an illustrator, painter, and he would argue about this, but one of the artists that I admire from here. So let's go ahead and check in. I'd like for you to introduce yourself.
I hate this question every fucking time. Like, how do I word myself in a way that I would not want to stab myself in the eye?
Mm-hmm.
So bad. Same. Anyway, I will try.
Let's hear you out.
Also, side note, I think my dream, my one concrete dream in this life is for that someone else to introduce me. Like, you know, to be that person that someone else introduced. I think that's a goal in life. Not to be, like, necessarily rich or, like, the tiniest bit of accomplished so that someone else is introduced you. That will be, like, such a bitch feeling, I feel like. Anyway, I'm digressing.
Go for it.
Well, hi, I am Jethro. I think I am an artist. I'd like to consider myself someone who loves to paint and to draw. That's it.
That's
the most interesting.
Cool. I mean, like,
that's such an underwhelming introduction, I swear.
No, it's fine. Like, so, like, the thing is, like, you know, it's not really necessary for me to ask, of course, my guests. Of course, like, when, you know, we edit this or whatever, kind of, like, typically templates of podcasts, it's like, you know, I introduce the guest before, you know, the talk cuts in the picture or whatever. But I think it's just, like, fun to ask that. And, you know, the idea behind that is because, you know, it, like you said, it's like one of the hardest, you were saying,
like
one of the hardest questions to answer. But, like, if you really think about it, though, is it really that hard, though? Because it's like, introduce yourself. So if you're having a hard time, is it because you do not know yourself? I don't know. Like, what is it? Like, what's hard about it?
I think, I don't know. I think about it in a way that, you know, when people ask you, what words do you put in your epitaph?
Mm.
I think that's how, what amalgamation of words would describe me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so, I mean, I feel my life or myself, it's so, I can't objectively look at me and, like, make a sentence out of it,
right?
And it feels horrible to be self-absorbed enough to conjure some sort of a nice sentence or a nice description. It's a weird complex, I think, which gets me thinking, actually. I will ponder on that. Well, ponder.
I love that. No, but, like, seriously though, because, like, okay, it's on my end and someone, like, ask, right, like, introduce yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say I'm a creative. I do a lot of that in my life.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask you. I think it would be.
It would be like, I could be,
yeah,
like,
less awkward if you introduced yourself first. But I forgot. Anyway, yes, it's a nice description, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was just, like, thinking about, because, you know, you were talking a lot about how that in itself is a hard question, right? And so, you know, throwing that back to me, I was just, like, seeing it, trying to see from your perspective and also, like, how I feel about the question itself. And if somebody asked me that, I would typically, I guess, say, like, I'm a creative, I'm a writer, I'm also a poet, I'm also, like, a friend to a lot of people. And I'm, you know, I'm also,
that's,
I guess,
so nice.
You know, I would also say that I am a light worker, that, you know, I've been, like, in this, like, you know, whole journey. We're going to talk about it a little further later, but, you know, I just like wonder what's stopping you. You know, it's always
There's always, like, a blockage, right?
Yeah, it's always interesting to me because, like, for me, like, funny enough, is because I do a lot of this, you know, like, creative work and projects, right? You know, like, I write, I do other things and whatever. It's always, like, content creation and, you know, producing in different ways. But, like, something is always stopping me to say that I am artist, right?
Yes. So, it's somehow that word feels pretentious,
right?
Like, icky to say. I feel like I just say that to convince myself that I am one. But if I'm, like, a third person hearing myself, I would punch myself. Like, like, would I even consider it? Maybe I do. Like, literally, I do it. But the concept of being an artist feels more than just doing it physically. I think it's such a word that transcends. It feels
Come
when in. I say it, I feel like maybe it's the, what do you call this, the inner saboteur saying that, like, oh, you're not really an artist or whatever, but it does feel like a betrayal. No, it's not a betrayal. It feels like I'm chewing up something. I'm chewing too much out of something. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense, though. I think my theory is that, so, like, first of all, let me just say, you are a fucking artist. See, like, like, see, that's the thing, though, because, like, for me, what's stopping me from saying that I am an artist, even if I write, you know, whether it be editorial, whether it be, you know, poetry, whether it be, like, you know, fiction, nonfiction, I also produce, whether it be podcasts, whether it be just, you know, songwriting that I haven't even, like, put it out, you know, yet. I also, you know, do, like, some sort of photography projects, which I'm, like, trying to make into a zine, and, you know, now kind of venturing into, you know, all these things, right? Even if, you know, it technically, like, you know, in a profound meaning of what is an artist is, it's like just like different mediums, and that checks out to a lot of that.
Yeah, so you're an artist, right? I do consider you as an artist and a really great artist also.
Exactly. And so, but for me, what's stopping me from defining, you know, like identifying myself as one, is because I have this idea, and I think it's, you know, I guess it's just like society or whatever, and what we see and what we grew up on. And I just think, like, artists are only, like, the ones who, you know, like, does music or, you know, like, you know, draws and actually, like, paintings and have exhibitions and, you know, all these things. And I'm like, I can't be an artist, right? Because, like, you know what I mean? So, I identified that word so much with just people producing, like, you know, specific, I guess, like products or output that if I don't see what I do that checks out to that is like no, I'm not. And you know, for what you do, I actually identify that, you know, like for artists. And so that's why, you know, like that's the reason what's stopping me from identifying as one. And so, you know, for you, that's why my question is, you know, what's stopping you from calling yourself that? So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, so I was also thinking about that. I think we attribute being an artist to some sort of a skill level, I think, which is weird and rigid. Like, we only consider artists as people who have honed their skill for so long. You know, they arrive into that position where their work is so, it's almost like their entity, right? So that's I think that's kind of skewed in that idea, because I think anything that you produce or think about or put creative efforts on is art, right?
I think like everyone's an artist, you know, like
everyone really is, but somehow the society made it some sort of like a highbrow thing, and then like creative is a much more rounded term compared to being an artist, which feels like some sort of like a little bit snobbish.
Anyway, we are going to talk a lot about that later on, but I'd like to kind of just like go and chat about our relationship, you know, kind of how weird and strange our relationship is. I think this is like the second like time that we like properly and so
which is weird, right? The first time we hung out, I feel like we knew each other for so long already.
Which we did, right?
But we've never seen or hung out physically ever.
I remember I knew you way back. This is like way back. Do you remember the I think it was because of a spoken word like thing.
It harks back from way before. Remember we were I think we were in a group on 1975. I swear it was that.
Was it?
It was the
1975. Holy shit. Group.
And then
it's been the spoken word.
No, I think we just were connected because of the spoken word. But I think I messaged you way before because you got to meet the members of 1975. And I was like, oh my God, that I cannot comprehend that. I need to actually message this person and ask how these people are. So I think that was that. And then we just, I don't know, we just continued to be, we weren't talking that much, right? But I felt very comfortable with you. And I think we caught a concert after that.
Oh my God.
But we weren't together. We were just both in the same concert, and then the spoken thing, the spoken word thing happened, and then the rest is history, I think. Did that explain clearly?
Yes.
You know, right?
For me, the only memory, if I'm gonna like go back, I really thought it was just a spoken word, because I remember
it was the
time when we saw Sarah and Phil K. I saw you when I was on the line and I said hi to you, and so that was like my first memory of you. I think maybe because I have so much like memory of like, you know, my the 1975 phase, it's just like I, you know, like people, I made so many friends at that time, and you know, it was a time, good times. you know, I feel different about it. I still love them, but you know what I mean? It's just like, I feel like, in some sort of way. Yeah, yeah.
The 1975 phase was like the second scene phase, you know?
Yeah.
We all had that scene renaissance with the 1975 and the Tumblr. I think it's such a milestone. The Tumblr. I call it the Tumblr era.
Yes. Anyway, going back, you know, like really originally going to, I wanted to check in with you. Like, how are you these days?
Yeah. Well, I'm good. I'm trying to do like, you know, like real good. Like not in some sort of competitive way, because as a person, I think I've been wired to think, to view things as some sort of competition. But now I think I'm just doing good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Without any, some sort of, it doesn't run on a racetrack or whatever. I'm doing things that good to me as a person, and that is beneficial to the steps that I'm making in figuring out who I am. Mm-hmm. That's such a weird concept to me still talking about, but it just got me thinking that for the rest of my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I think I've followed such a structure that may be imposed by others, or maybe I've internalized. It's like it's always been a structure that by this point I have to be this, and at this point I have to be at this place, or be feeling this, or have accomplished this. But now I've just realized maybe it's the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it, a whole lot of like life experiences recently, that made me realize like, wait, without all these checkpoints or without all this structure, who am I, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so scary, because all my life I've subscribed to that structure, and that for some time I thought that was who I am. That was my personality. I was this at this age. Or I was that doing this at this age.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but now I kind of felt like all the structures were crumbling down, maybe because of the pandemic. I was like confronted with the idea of, oh my gosh, who am I? Now that I'm sitting alone in a space of my own, like, who am I? I've been my company for the longest time. That sort of idea, I'm still trying to process. For some people, it's going to be for the rest of their lives. But the fact that the idea of it can be a process that can last throughout your life, something very comforting to me, because it doesn't have a goal, right? It doesn't have a place to be. It's just an ongoing process. And the fact that it's never ending, there's no end goal, it's so comforting to me, because for all my life, there's always going to be a motive. There's always, it's always going to be another like milestone to get through. So yeah. So I think I'm digressing, but yeah, anyway, I'm trying to figure out my life, not in a way that I'm fixing it or whatever. I'm just getting to know myself, getting to know what I like, and the things that I don't, forming, you know, like just really relearning myself. I'm trying to get that. How about you? How are you?
I love that for you. First of all, I fucking love that for you. Oh my God. If I have a bottle of soju, I'm just gonna like, you know.
It's such a glass clink moment.
Right? Yes, I know. I'm like, a toast. So that's so good. I love that for you. I think it's also because, like I said, yesterday we were chatting, I think we're on the same page, and it's always comforting and it's always nice to really connect with people that you align with, you know, at the same time of your journey, because that shit's rare these days, especially, you know, in, again, the pandemic. Honestly, like, I need to do a tally of how much we say, I say pandemic, or like my guests will say pandemic.
Yeah. Every time we say it, we do a shot, and then we'll be dead by the end of this.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, before, you know, I get into my end, I'm happy to hear that you're doing good and that you are, you know, in this whole like relearning process of yourself. I'm definitely like all for that. Yeah, it's quite weird because the last time we hang out, which is the first time that we hang out.
Yeah.
This is so bizarre to me. Let's just backtrack to that night, all right? We're going to come back to this whole relearning.
Yeah, we'll try to. Let me backtrack.
Let me just give a moment of silence. I can't even remember how like we even like ended up, you know, like did I text you? Did you text me or something like that? But yeah, I just like remember we.
Yeah. It was just one of those nights. Yeah, it's one of those nights we just like randomly linked up.
I think because I was in Makati and I know you work in Makati, so I think I kind of just like ping you or something, and honestly glad that we
me too did it. This was a really nice night. We've gone through so much that night. It's so weird to pinpoint the start of it, because we ended up in such a different drastic place from where we started.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
I just thought we're just gonna have like a wholesome catch up dinner, very adult, you know, in the metro kind of thing. Like, and then fast forward a couple hours, you're like 4 a.m. in BGC, and like we're in the 7-Eleven. I'm like, oh, how?
We're
eating Shopao or whatever.
Yeah, I also remember you had a dinner because I already had dinner, so I think I company at that time. And I would love to actually you know, this is basically, we've already been touching and chatting about what I really wanted to touch on chatting with you, which is a lot about, you know, our identity, our self and discoveries and stuff. And I want to know, because you were talking a lot about, and which I am really happy to hear, you know, to hear from you that you like yourself now and all these things, and that there's so much of you that you've discovered. And yeah, like if you can share a little bit more about what have you discovered, you know, like about yourself, or, you know, for the past year that we haven't caught up, and, you know, that you've been doing this journey on your own. And yeah, just like, you know, anything that you would like to share that the change and, you know, remain the same or reflected on, I'd love to hear that.
So I think I better start on the beginning, right? Because now it feels like every one of us has a timeline already. Mm-hmm. Of the pandemic. So this was my beginning. So in the beginning, I felt like, okay, the world is gonna end. I have to like do something. So I felt like everything, like all my systems were maxed out. Like I have to do this and I have to do that because I'm gonna die sooner or whatever. Right? Because that was, it really felt like doomsday before. It's like just counting the days before the earth falls apart. I wanted to do so many things at once. It's like, okay, I think maybe I did a couple of decisions that were not actually beneficial to me, or I was like spreading myself too thin and whatnot. So that was my experience at the first, you know, this is a panic mode, you know, like, okay, I have to, even like surviving, man, it felt like you were putting so much effort into just not being sick. That had so many mental load on me that I just found myself maybe in the latter year, like really just burnt out. Mm. And which was weird was I do felt burnt out, but I have found another standard to adhere to. I thought that burnout would go because these are some new goals. You know that? I did that. So for me to like come out of this slump, I have to like set goals. Mm. And then not realizing that I'm putting myself into disappointment. I'm structuring this like goals that are very hard to achieve. Mm. And then if I don't get them, I beat myself up relentlessly. Mm. That was my coping mechanism at first. And then later this year, like when the year started, I think kind of a reckoning because things were happening in my personal life. And then I went back to my parents' house for the start of the year and it felt like something has shifted. I could explain it in words, but really did felt calm, which mm-hmm. is weird. And then as the days roll on, I had this urge to like protect that calm. And then at first I was like denying it. Like I couldn't be that chill or whatever. Like I have to, you know, keep grinding, you know, mm-hmm. keep whatever. I just like sat down, which is weird because we already like had a whole year of pandemic, but it's actually one of the first few times that I actually sat down, listened to myself and like, okay, what do I actually really want? I mean, I didn't have any concrete answers after it, but I do had feelings about it. Like, okay, I want to feel, you know, protect this calmness. I want to protect the people that I love. Mm-hmm. I want to protect my peace. I want to disrupt or like dismantle all this, like all the things that I've been carrying around my back. That's so unnecessary. You know, the standards that I put up to myself, the relationships or the pedestals that I put people to, like, I just want to demolish everything and just like operate in such center. This mm-hmm. sounds so spiritual, but I really do. Like, I'm going to touch on it.
I'm not, you know, sorry for cutting yeah, but, yeah, no, in, right. But it's so nice to hear people talk about their spiritual journey. It doesn't sound as spiritual. It is spiritual.
You it know really is. I just yeah, spiritual. I just realized that actually spirituality is something that's very personal to you. And it's actually a huge part being you, your whole humanity, you know? Yeah. Like just yeah, your mental state, your physical state. And it actually is part of your spiritual journey. It's really truly a very fundamental part of what makes you a person. And I just realized that also recently, which is like wow. We're introduced kasi at a young age, especially in a country like this. Mm-hmm. Spirituality means religion and church yeah. and whatever. Over the past few months, I realized, no, actually, this spirituality is my own journey. It's like, it's my own thing. It's not something that can be fed upon me and I have to subscribe to it blindlessly or religion and the church. Mm-hmm. Well, many people do subscribe to it and I have no shit against them. It's just like, I just really get icky when people impose their beliefs to people as if there's someone higher or someone more morally superior.
Yeah.
When in the matter of fact, you aren't. It's like your spirituality, that it's a journey to finding who you are and how you connect to this world. It just blew my mind how before you can take that leap, before you can offer yourself to something that is beyond your concept of humanity, right? Because that's what our idea of spirituality is, right? Or take it as religion. And religion, you like offer yourself to something that is a concept bigger than you. But realizing that spirituality is actually going to your center, finding out your center, getting to know yourself most so that you can take that leap. It's very profound to me because it's actually an inward process first.
For sure.
Right? It's just like, yeah. What the fuck? And I'm hearing myself right now. I sound like such a noob. But I really, if anyone is like, especially you, I wish you something like, you know, the journey to take the time and like actually like ask yourself, like, what do you believe in or what
mm-hmm.
what makes you feel good, what makes you feel centered. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's been a lot of meditation and yoga and like, you know, actually like feeling what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized also that I came across this meditation guide or whatever. I sound so pretentious right now. Anyway, thanks to my friend, she introduced me to the concept of healing your inner child.
Yes.
It's like, oh my fucking God, what is an inner child? Like that shit is scary. Like, but yeah, so I realized it's just the same thing as ego or as other people call it, you know, the self-saboteur or whatever. Like inner child the concept of inner child really is that one point or another in our childhood, we acquired things that we do not understand, and that became such a belief system to us. And now in our latter lives, we still subscribe to them, and it causes us disappointments, and it causes us heartbreaks, and so much self-conflict. And but we don't know where it came from, right? We just kept on to it, thinking that that was right. Listening to this explanations and some videos about inner child, it's kind of like, at first I was so scared, because what the fuck, why, what if I unpack some heavy shit? I can't recover from that, right? This is always going to be some sort of over what you might discover when you dig deep now. When I tried to, it's actually really healing.
Definitely.
Because sometimes, right, the notion of healing, I think, sometimes frightens people, because our hurt is so comfortable. We're comfortable in our own hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's more or less, we make that. It's our own doing, self-induced. I mean, yes, people go through a lot of really painful things in their life. But I do also believe that sometimes people harbor on things or feelings that do twice the damage of what has happened to them.
You know, just to kind of add in, I was, which is you know, all of these things is, you know, I'm on the same page. And I wanted to add that when you mentioned healing and, you know, inner child and all these things, I personally, in a spiritual journey, I personally feel you know, I've been in a healing. I think healing process is just until, you know, you die, right? Because all throughout your life, you're going to you know, there's always going to be a problem that's inevitable.
Yeah.
To heal that. And so I feel healing for me, you know, is just a different parts, you know, of my life. There's definitely different phases of my healing and my spiritual journey per se. I feel I really just got really into deep to it, or I, you know, it was I only really acknowledged it, you know, early 2019, when this was, you know, a time that everything came crashing down on my end, you know, with my personal life, my love life, my family life, things were mess. And it was at a point where I was just desperate for something to to hold on to, to grasp on, which was I felt this envy with, you know, believers, with people, you know, who are practicing, you know, their religion and stuff, because I cannot fathom the idea of getting comfort from a higher source. And I've always wished that, because what about me for an unbeliever, where I don't have any, you know, higher power to hold to or to pray to when things are crashing down. But then it was also, you know, an awakening, like you said, where you define what is spirituality to you. And, you know, for me, when I was doing, you know, this, you know, my work at that time, and I was connected with a community, a lot of coaches and healers and light workers. And, you know, I was introduced to this, you know, breath works, meditations, you know, taking, you know, doing your own altar cleansing, all these rituals that our ancestors basically, you know, do back then. And then I was this actually sits well with me. This, you know, you know, nature and you know, everything is energy. And, you know, us, you know, we're just in a physical form in this third dimension, but we are all spirits as well, you know, we are all forms of energy. And, you know, kind of just also acknowledging, you know, our ancestors and all these people who were you know, behind us. And you know, when it blew my mind. And also it was a space, and these are the things that felt comfortable for me, that sat well with me. You know, I right now, you know, at this point, you know, have my own altar, have my own rituals, and all these things. And it's yes, you get to define what spirituality to you. And if me, you know, praying to just the universe itself, praying, you know, talking to my ancestors, my spirit guides, is what, you know, is making me feel grounded, what's making me feel connected, what's making me feel more myself, then it's really no shame to it. Because it's kind of just the same thing with the believers, you know, who's following a religion, right? It's literally the same concept. There is people who also, you know, hang on to this, you know, whole other person. And we don't even know if that's
real. Yeah, basically, you know, praying is manifesting, right? It's basically meditation. Praying is like manifesting and being grateful and being insightful of the things that you did wrong. Our idea of religion is actually pretty much the same. It just gets muddy when we put standards on it or we put bodies that are not actually needed for that relationship. Because for me, really, spirituality is your relationship with yourself, or like it's a thing that you do for yourself. It just get fucked up on why we have some sort of a body that is between your spirituality and the thing that you believe to. Why can't you just have that between yourself? It's always going to be, I think, and maybe it's also like the Western colonizing idea of people, some people are higher than you, so that you have to follow them or whatever. But it's really one of the things that I found really toxic. So I'm really grateful that I'm very much sure now that, okay, yeah, spirituality is my own journey, and I'm actually enjoying being enriching that part of myself.
Yeah, which I love, inner child. So for you, what has that been for you? Like, you know, say for me, you know, like discovering that I do like dancing, that I do like painting and all these things. For you, like, what has come up that you've kind of, you know, discovered something new about yourself that you, yeah, like you didn't kind of acknowledge
before? I think also, like, talking about the inner child healing and tending to the inner, I think at first why I had so much resistance was that I thought I had, you know, a normal, happy childhood or a family, right? Like, I think that's one of the, I think in Filipino culture, being in a nuclear family is like, when there's a mom and there's a dad, they're basically, you have a great family. That's the notion of being in a Filipino household, realizing that no, actually everyone had traumas in their childhood, and I'm no exception. It's like, it was actually an emotional journey for me, because realizing that tending or listening to this inner child, it must mean that I've had some, you know, some traumas that I've carried over from when I was a child. And then that itself was like really painful to realize, like, oh yeah, it's like where I got it from, whatever. But also what made me more emotional was that the your parents or the people that took care of you might have also those kinds of wounds in their children, and then they have passed it on, and then they harbored it and they passed it on to you. So it's really not about blaming whoever. It's just like the concept of forgiveness for me was like, wow, okay. So that made me really cry a lot. Like, I was journaling and I realized, like, yeah, I have to forgive, even though like I have like a nice loving family, I still have to forgive my parents and myself for some of the things that I carry still to this day. Like, so, and then like noting that this is not a done deal, it's still a process. You still learn and unpack new things as you go along. But yeah, going back to what you said, I realized that for me, it wasn't about the things that I actually enjoyed before. I realized that I have this trauma of trying to seek validation for people, from people, and that I realized, okay, that's not actually very healthy. And now I'm trying to do is actually I'm off social media. And I think I've been handling it pretty well. I'm realizing that, wow, okay, so much of my time and mental space I was giving it away willingly by going to social media, and then I get affected negatively because I'm trying to seek some sort of validation to people, when in fact, no one actually gives a shit to anyone on social media, right?
Yeah. Like,
it's such a weird vacuum of information and personal bullshit. So many things is going on in there that trying to make yourself feel important through social media is such a dangerous, unhealthy thing to do. And that's what I've been finding myself doing for the past for the past few years that I've been on it. It's like took so much time to realize that, okay, wow, I think I don't have such a healthy relationship with social media after all. And I hate to be that person to be like, social media is for losers or whatever. Like, I don't go, really not it. It's like, for me, it's not really healthy anymore. It's causing me a lot of self-inflicted pain, and it's causing me a lot of self-doubt, not for just for myself, but also for the thing that I love the most doing, which is art, illustrating or drawing. And in social media, I find that it gets muddled, like those boundaries get muddled, that you try to seek validation first for yourself, and then you realize, wait, I'm using so many, for me, example, I was trying to seek validation through my art, which is kind of like disgusting and weird. And but to me, before, that made sense. Like, I wasn't important. My artwork wasn't. And I find that really sad. I don't want that to be my practice. I don't want to be dependent on anything other than myself when art making is such a personal process, you know. It's such a vulnerable thing to do. So that's what I realized. Okay, validation seeking, whatever. Then it trickled down to, okay, now how does this affect my process, you know, my, how does this affect what I really love doing, which is art making. I realized, yeah, for so long I've been trying to brand. That's why also I keep harping back to who I'm. For the longest time, I was trying to convince myself that I was an artist because I was doing artworks. Mm-hmm. But I realized that wasn't really the case. I think for me now, being an artist is so self-aware and being so self-reflective that you are so whole, but you're also so transparent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you feel like a mirror. Like, you know that you, but you also, the things around you.
Yeah.
I think that is the closest, I guess, I think, what an artist means to me.
Mm, I love that. You know, you touched on the intergenerational trauma subject earlier, which I really like that you mentioned as well, because earlier the discussion you were talking about a lot of the hurt that we have is self-inflicted, self-induced. And so I definitely think some of it, I think, yes, we do exaggerate it in ways because we don't know how to cope, you know, in a healthy, you know, manner. But, you know, like you mentioned earlier with the intergenerational trauma thing, I also reflected and realized the same thing, whereas a lot of the pain sometimes that we carry is not even ours. Maybe these things that we carry, you know, are the same things that our parents or, you know, whoever, and our grandfathers and grandmothers have carried through themselves too. And now that we are self-aware with it, then maybe we are the ones who need to break this, you know, break this cycle. And like you said too a while ago with the whole reflection mirror thing, where being self-aware, it's such a huge thing. Like, one, being self-aware is one thing, but taking action in it is a different thing, you know, because it's a different process and it takes a lot, you know, to also
A lot of time
to do that. And so I also personally, you know, like, believe once, you know, somebody just like breaks that cycle, that, you know, that becomes like a domino effect, I think.
But yeah, I do feel like more and more people are being super self-aware. I don't know, maybe because I'm on that journey also, but the one that you mentioned, like, you kind of like realize, okay, wow, people are also like working on themselves right now, like while I'm doing this. It's such a domino effect, as you said. And it kind of feels like humanizing also, that even though we're all so different, we're still connected in some little ways. And that doesn't mean that, you know, growth and healing is a linear way. It really isn't. That's what I also learned. It's like, we need to also break that, because again, it's like, you know, setting a goal for yourself, which is actually, I have learned, that's actually toxic. Mm-hmm. What I learned now is, you set an intention, you know, that feels more wholesome and gentle. And that personal growth and, you know, evolving is not a linear way. It's not a ladder. More like, it's such a 360 kind of way that it can go from up to down. You can relapse, you can feel bad about yourself some days, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're back to ground zero. There really is some days that you feel like, okay, you have to feel things, you have to feel negative feelings, and then part of, you know, growing out of that, evolving or improving, that when you feel those, you recognize it, you actually sit on it, you ask yourself, why am I feeling this, what can I do about it, what do I actively need to change, and then you go from there. I'm sounding such a weird hippie right now. I feel like I'm so, if I'm ever gonna hear this, like, oh my god, it's so pretentious, it's like, why is it sounding like that?
I think you need more people that you can, I don't know, you know, like, who your friends and all these, you know, all the other people like you talk to and stuff, because I definitely have felt the same when I was like starting my journey. But now that like I am connected with so many of them who's doing the same thing, like, us talking in ways like this is like such a norm. It's like
a conversation. Wow, that's so nice. I'm gonna Now I'm gonna consider you one now. So like, yes. I'm expanding all my like growth bitches. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, all these bitches are like self-care mode.
Yeah.
Still though, self-care as a term still kind of makes me vomit a little because it's been so gentrified and so whitewashed.
For sure. So if you know, with this whole process that you're having and stuff like that with yourself, like picture, I just like want to hear from you, what does your highest version of yourself look like? Like, wow. What does your healed self look like? What does your, do you already like envision that? Like, how does it feel? Like, how do you even look? Where would you even be? What would you even be doing? Who is that person? Like, I don't even know, like, would it that be 5 years from now? Whatever, but...
Well, it's actually a hard question. Since, you know, I'm trying to, like, dismantle all this. So I'm dismantle all the goals, setting, and all that. So I'm actually, like, reassessing myself and, like, coming from a place with just, you know, pure intention. I do intend myself to be, as I said before, I think, the image already that came to my mind when you asked me what my highest version of myself would be, like what I said to you a while ago, like some sort of a mirror that is so well versed his feelings and his himself, like you're incompletely self-aware and like of processing of everything. For me is a little bit easier, and that I find myself reflecting some sort of, I attribute this again to being an artist, you know, the notion that the artists are the reflection of the society, and I really aspire to be that. So I also acknowledge that for you to be that, you have to also be super self-aware, and you have done all the self that you could to yourself, and the next thing would be to do some things that are outside yourself. That's what I intend to be to be a reflection of something that is greater than me, or bigger.
That's good.
Does that make sense?
Place Mirror Ball by Taylor Swift.
Oh my god. Well, that song, which is so ironic because that song is so much about people pleasing and like, look at me, I'm still hanging here, I'm still a shiny thing.
Yeah.
When in fact, the irony of me explaining like how I want to be like some sort of a mirror. So just to be so this is like to be so well, full of myself, not in a bad way, it's like to be so full of myself that I feel like a concrete mirror that just reflects everybody else.
Do you have any idea of like, you know, like I do definitely understand like what you aspire to be for the highest version of yourself, but I was wondering what kind of person would that be, like, because you know you talk a lot about this, you know, you want to be a reflection and you know, that greater, like bigger than who you are now. And so who is that person then? Like, what values do you hold?
I think it's always so, here I go again, like, you know, really icky about talking about myself, but I'll push through. I think I'm more or less the same as I am right now. It's so hard because like I'm buckling. I just realized how this concept is still so bizarre to me.
If you don't have answer yet, you know, like that's fine too. If, you know, again, maybe you're not, you know, in that space yet. I was just this is something that I wanted to throw in.
No, but actually I feel like I do have an answer. It's just that maybe I think that version of myself would be more clearer in that wala nang blockages between what he feels and what he thinks he should say. You know, like he's more fluent in his own feelings, that he doesn't self-doubt himself anymore.
Yeah.
And well-versed in if the things that he's saying is correct, makes sense, in that he doesn't need someone else to say like, wow, okay, what you do is good. Or it's just that whatever I would feel like he should feel that it's enough. Like, wow, someone who is proud of what he has done and do us who he has become. And I pretty much hope I am still doing art, but for myself. And I hope that the process of art making has been so fine-tuned that it's just like breathing, because you know, those blockages have been removed. There's no more self-doubt, things I can guess in the mind and the body and the spirit is just all in tune. So it just shows in the canvas or whatever medium I intend to do in the future. did that answer your question?
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait, you know, to meet and chat to that version.
Me too.
Where, you know, I guess more sure and sort more certain about yourself. I think that's a lovely, you know, goal to. I mean, again, we're not after goals and stuff.
Yeah. But actually, this is actually a lovely exercise because you realize the things that you want to become are things that you already are. You just have to work on it.
Exactly. And, you know, I definitely much enjoyed hearing a lot about that from you. That's a lot. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for, it was a good check-in with you. And so this is now the time where, I don't know if you prepare, but your chance to ask me that one question because I've been asking.
Yes.
All the time. So, is there anything in your mind, sir?
So, I actually dwelled upon it a while ago. What would be the thing that is written down on your tombstone?
Holy shit.
That's right? Really? It really turned into something morbid, right? But to me, I'll explain. But to me, it kind of feels grounding. Some sort of, really freeing to think that we're all mortals and that some one way or another, we're all going to be part of the earth again. Mm-hmm. So going back to the question,
because I don't think I would have a tombstone. I want to be burned.
Theoretically, or
I get
cremated people still have tombstones, right? Or epitaphs?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, if I'm gonna, if I'm gonna be kept, but what I aspire to do is, the thing now where they plant you as a tree.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of.
You start doing that also. Well, anyway. I'm just figuring out what would be carved on your tree or whatever.
I do get okay, that's a hard question.
Such a loaded question, right?
On the spot. YOLO, no. one, it's so funny. It's going to be so ironic, but wow. Okay, first of all, let me ask you. I know, you're asking me, but can I just ask what typically is, what are the typical things that are written on, those things?
The typical tombstones, general description, a loving dad. A great poet or whatever. What they set on tombstone. So one or two sentences that kind of generally talks about your life.
Right. But so it's a lot about kind of introducing yourself to who you are.
It always circles back to that. So do you think you know who you are now, Mark?
I think I have a good foundation of myself, definitely. I definitely know what I like and what feels good to me, what makes me happy, and all the things that doesn't. So what I definitely also have a good foundation of my values and all these things. So I think I do know. I know different version of myself, and so I can confidently say that I know myself. The only versions that I do not know about myself is, the ones that I am yet to discover. Mm-hmm. But, I don't think I can summarize that into, a loving daughter or whatever, the labels, because like you said earlier, we are so much, we are a lot of things. We are multitude, of things. And so, I thought, okay, so this, the thing is, I thought, what you write there, now I understand that, that's typically what people write there, but I was more of thinking of the message. I was more of thinking that I would at least see, at least just maybe a statement or a message instead of, I guess a mantra kind of thing, instead of believing, I'm this person.
Yeah.
And it was so funny.
What would be your mantra?
So ironic, because in my head right now, where I am, I have this, I follow this mantra where it's just live your best life. And and it's wouldn't that be so funny? If you have
that this is very funny. I find it very fitting.
But you leave a message where it's live your best
life. That's also such a rock star. tombstone though.
And it's like, you know, like what's funny, I guess, like for me, what's funny, or if I see someone, right, like has that in their tombstone or epitaph, whatever you want to call it, it's either like I would think, did that person live their best life, or mm-hmm. did that person regret because they did not live their
best life? Yeah, actually, I guess the vagueness of it says so much about the one who reads it.
Yes.
So still, right? So still, even if you're dead on the ground, you're still doing the work of like being, like,
but I think,
asking the right things.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's, I guess, you know, I would prefer it to be in our language. So I don't know, like, how, what's the best way to have that in our language. But that's, I think, like, that's the idea that I want to leave behind. Mm-hmm. At least for now, you know, again, maybe, you know, it will change, you know, when I'm older and I've learned more and stuff. But right now, that's kind of like the main theme that, yeah, that I have in my life. And it's true, though, you kind of just like really need to live your best life, however that is, whatever that means. And for a long time, I don't think I did that. And so, you know, it's kind of a redemption thing for me to be able to every day show up to that. Or honestly, maybe I could just have there the word that I actually have tattooed on my, you know, on myself, which is padayon. So maybe padayon is a Bisaya Tagalog word, which basically just means continue. It's like
that's so on. Nice.
Yeah, you know,
that can be. Yeah, that's so nice.
You've never heard of padayon?
I've never. And then that's such a cool word to put in an epitaph. Mine was like, I think, I was thinking, mine would be a great dog owner. But I think that I would be very happy to put that. But yeah. Padayon is so cool. And I would, that's a really nice, gorgeous word.
Padayon. Yeah, I have it tattooed on myself. And, you know, it's usually used when, like, fishermen sails. So whenever their family like bids goodbye or whatever, they would just like say padayon, which is just like, you know, like sail forward, move forward. And
that's so nice.
Yeah, that's basically, you know, and I had it tattered to myself because, you know, again, it was a time where I was just like, I don't know, it brings a comfort to me where it's just like, it's until, you know, like you're living and you have an, you know, like you wake up the next day, basically you just need to move forward, continue. You have no choice. You know, this whole living in the past, looking forward to the future, we really just need to be present and, you know, be in what it, you know, what it is now, where we are now. And because I saw this quote where it was like, you don't get to spend with a version of yourself now for a long time once you grow older, or you know, you don't spend so much time looking back to who you were or looking forward to who you want to be, because this who you are right now, like that's who you need to spend yourself, you know, with. And so yeah, so that's my answer, you know.
That's in my
English, maybe like the live your best life kind of a rock sort of thing, but I think the most the most ideal and the most truest, what I have in myself too, which is padayon, because I think it's also comforting for the people who I will leave behind.
Yeah.
It's like, even if, you know, I am, you know, gone already, truth is their lives, who are, you know, people who I'm going to leave behind are going to continue. And, you know, I would love to be that reminder to that, even if that they will grieve and it's going to be a whole process, also remind them that, like, just hang in there, it's going to get easier and manageable, and they all just gonna need to continue.
That's so nice, thank you for that.
Yes, amazing. That's amazing. Kind of, thank you so much.
I am honestly left with so many answers, but also more questions. So I'll let you all marinate on that, but deeply honored to hold that space for honesty and vulnerability. See you in the next one. Let's connect on the internet. We're on Instagram at Marjostani Studio. You can email us at hello@marjostanistudio.com. Subscribe, rate, review. We always love hearing from you.